Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining me right here, Brighteon TV Uncensored. Are we in the fright zone or the freedom zone? The culmination of my work over the last 10 years is coming to fruition now. The gas giants are starting to interconnect electromagnetically. We're seeing these extremes across the planet, and we're seeing the extremes of government across the planet to control the citizenry. They dovetail. We're going to look at ancient history today. Into our modern dissolving world, the collapse, the movement of one system to another. It's interesting how so many, you know, piles of wealth are being moved from Western world to what is considered quote unquote different hemisphere, Eastern world. What is it that they know about the collapse or the destruction in these certain locations on our planet that are now being vacated and the wealth taken with it? We're going to discuss all this when we come back. Get ready to dive into history that meets modern era.
SAT123.com. They have put together a really incredible package. Emergency backup communication systems, power systems. We've got sat phones. We've got solar panels and also the big 400-watt solar panel behind us there. And why does this matter? Because, of course, right now we are dealing with massive risk of blackouts. And the power grid is just failing, you know, intermittently, but it's going to get worse because we've also got energy shortages. Think about the lack of coal power, the diesel problems that are happening right now. If you're in the military or the National Guard or Border Patrol or law enforcement and you need to be able to function even when the power grid goes down, or maybe you're a first responder, rescue team, firefighter, paramedic, you name it, you need to know about this equipment. So SAT123.com, folks.
And welcome back. I want you to just sit back and relax. I'm trying to explain the best is these natural overlapping cycles and the reason our world is suddenly taking a hard twist, whatever direction you think it might go, left, right, center, up, down. We got the comet Nishimura inbound. This will be the last night you can see it. But generally with Chinese mythologies, when comets arrive, that's a bad omen. So right here, this first slide, what are we allowed to see? That's truly the question over the last several thousand years. I mean, what are we allowed to see about our history, our economy, repeating cycles, controllers of finance, and society itself. Same powers have been controlling money, finance, and the direction of society since the Sumerian times 7,000 years ago. So I think it was an implanted ruler class on the planet, and we see it again and again. So this is a first of its kind here. This is the back of King Tut. Usually you see the sarcophagus, and you see the face, and it's laying there. This is the first time they've released the reverse image of that solid gold headdress. What strikes me is the kundalini going down the spine. It looks almost like a series of transistors or something coming up. They understood the electrical nature of the body, the electrical nature of the planet, and the electrical nature of the solar system and how that interconnects with the spiral arm of our galaxy and these changes that are forecastable, mappable. Now we're right back at it again. And I've referenced this chart before, and we're starting to finally get into the effects of this, what will be at its greatest intensity right here on this chart, October 23rd through the 25th of 2024. Let's take a good look at this because you see the Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune as perceived from our geocentric view, which is the Earth. From the Earth looking out to space, it appears as a square in the sky. And then we have different variants of that Earth in the center between the two magnetic fields, the sun on the backside, second magnetic field in front of us. So if you go to this website here, it's called theplanetstoday.com. Incredibly interesting site. It only has one function, just one. It shows you when planets start to connect electrically, electromagnetically, energetically, gravitationally, when they start to connect together. They turn purple. So if we rewind the clock just a little bit to the last days of August, that's on the left side there, you'll see that Uranus and Jupiter were inactive with any other planets around. Now, Venus and Mercury, we're connecting with Saturn, and a lot of times when the Earth rolls through that, it'll get quite large earthquakes. So if we move forward a little bit in time to September 5th, which is the chart on the right there, you'll suddenly start to see that Uranus and Eris, which is a subplanet, but Uranus starts to glow, meaning, uh-oh, or rejoicing, yes, I'm so excited it is, starting to interconnect with the other planets. This is a chance for us to break out of the fright zone into the freedom zone. Truly, by the end of this, you will see why this world is being controlled. The elite are terrified of us swinging into this magnetic field, because the ability to manifest during this time is going to be something that has not been witnessed in thousands of years. So if we come over to September 9th, what happened? All of the planets are going now. This magnetic field state will stay in play through 2026. This is the beginning of it. It just began. So now the beginning of the intensity, magnetism and electromagnetism, it doesn't work in a slow fashion. It, bam, it just hits and it's on. Now we're not in the middle of the exact field yet. But if we come out to the 15th, where we are today, I grabbed this just before the show today. Almost everything's interconnecting. Mercury as well. Now it's going to swing out, and the four gas giants will stay electrically connected as the other planets come in and come out of the flow. So as you roll through the charts, once you start to see two or three lines of, or two or three planets like Mercury and Venus, That's the electromagnetic line. Once the Earth's passed through that, you're going to know that we're going to get hit with earthquakes and volcanoes. Easy to use this site. And I encourage you, when there's gigantic events, come back here and then see where the Earth sits in terms of magnetism. And here, when we come out, this is my forecast for the end of the month here. Just based on what should occur when we're in the center of the field, October of 2024. Now, currently, as we swing through, the Earth is going to be, quote unquote, in the center of this evolving magnetic field, the second magnetic field, right around the 29th of September, in another couple weeks. Now, my opinion for this would be larger volcanism and bigger earthquakes. More extreme weather, like off the hook, unexplainable, gigantic hailstones weighing 5 pounds kind of things coming down. This is going to be a twist for everything you've known on our planet, the atmosphere, the electrical connectivity of our atmosphere. Space debris probably won't come in until we get on the backside of the sun by ourselves, when all the gravitational bodies are behind us pulling things in. So April would be a big one for me to look at for space debris coming in based on this evolving magnetic field. But just in a very general sense, you can kind of move the planet forward and back in time. This model only goes 30 days in advance. Obviously, you can't go that much further out. But we should be right, you know, in the center of that magnetic field at the end of the month. So look for larger than normal events of earthquakes and volcanoes at the end of this month. Now, also mud floods, things emanating from the earth like mud and earth cracks, bridges falling apart, bridges ripping from their banks. This will be kind of an indicator of things to come. This magnetic field is going to intensify every day from this point forward. It'll reach the max in, you know, end of next year, and then it'll take another whole year for it to dissipate back into pretty much where we're about at now. Another year or so, 2026, and then we should be out of this tug. So between now and the end of 2025 into 2026, this is the time that a lot of things are going to begin to change. Perception of human wakefulness is going to change. The way our brains are magnetically structured is going to change. It's going to seem like the planet is going insane, and it's going to appear as if we are in the end days, which I don't think we are yet. I think this is a precursor to it. That's just my own thought here, because it does seem like we're ripping through this veil of reality here. And this is truly the best image I could find for what I expect the world to move through in the next 24 months. There's this perception of what reality is, stuff, hard things, whatever things are in the world in front of you. But when you rip through that veil, there's something behind it. And I think a lot more of that is going to begin to happen to people. How will they deal with it? Well, that's one thing unknown. So as we come into 2024, I wanted to bring you back to the tree of life. And, you know, they're always talking about there shall be signs in the heavens. Now, that could be interpreted several ways, where you're looking for a giant comet to come through. You're looking for another planet to become more luminous, which I would anticipate as well. As we get into later 2024, the planets are going to start glowing more. They're going to get brighter. And they're not going to be able to explain it. Well, if you got transiting magnetism from our star through the rest of the solar system and our planets, obviously that has a potential difference that can move through. Something could glow more. More electric current into the system means a higher vibration, means more light glowing. Signs in the skies. It's been given to us time immemorial. This tree of life shows us exactly where we sit. This marks the beginning of the cycle, in my opinion. Now, obviously, when they said signs in the skies, I don't think they were talking about one giant event. I think they were talking about this right here, this alignment that could be measured, and it would be so significant that it could not be denied that it was the sign. We'll come back to more of these through the talk here. But if you look at Uranus, Neptune, Saturn, and Jupiter, they make that square there between the lower self, which would be the Earth. And then if we look at Atma, the ego, that's the sun. And you'll notice Venus is interestingly off in the exact same position, Deha, which you would see right here on our celestial map as well. So the mapping in the beginning of the cycle, see, this is the beginning of it. So where's the end? We'd have to stretch out in time and try to find the end matchup of this. This marks the beginning of it, but where's the ending? That's my next area of research, because clearly we can see that this matches. So it's going to have to map and match with Nephesh and Guf at the bottom eventually. So where would those planets transit to still have those four gas giants? It puts us out around 2031-ish. It's almost an inverse of this, as above, so below, which is incredibly interesting, because if you reverse that, the planets are on the left quadrant, but still, if you spin the model, you'll start to see that these planets do line up once again, 2031. Now, when I'm talking about extremes and things that are inbound here, the uptick, for a better term, is going to be biblical. There's no other way to describe it. And way back in the beginning of my channel, you know, the way that the forecasts were moving out with so many others, astrophysicists who I was learning from, and, you know, just like a sponge trying to learn as much as I could from them. The effects of this on our jet streams and cloud cells will be even more amplified. And if cosmic rays come in at higher levels as we descend into solar minimum, cosmic rays create more cloud cover, which creates more rain. And we also have the water vapor from the Hunga Tonga eruption in the atmosphere still for another 3 years. So you start to add all these variables on top of each other. And originally, when I would see a story where it was a month worth of rain in a single event, that was my kind of my starting point. Okay, it's a month. Eventually, it's going to be 6 months. Eventually, you're going to see a year worth of rain. And then after that, at some point, unknown, you're going to see years, plural, worth of rain in a single day. Well, we're at that point now. So it's better and a little bit easier to adjust the timeline, because knowing we'll be in that magnetic field puts us a year and a half out to these amplified years of something in a matter of days. So this is in Greece, and I don't know if any of you have been following the floods, because I know most people are focused on the Libyan floods at the moment and the dam breaks there. Greece had the biggest floods ever recorded. And, you know, when they say that, that's like a big statement, because you're going back to the Parthenon and we're going way back. That's thousands and thousands of years. So Greek authorities coming out saying it's the largest floods ever recorded in Greece. You know, Greece has a long history like Rome does. We're going way back, thousands of years, plural. And so according to their statements, these are the biggest floods in thousands of years. 3 years worth of rain in 2 days. You know, it would not surprise me if we were to see 5 years or 10 years of rain just before this magnetic field intensity at its peak. It would not surprise me at all to see 5 years worth of rain in a day. And this is where we start to get into the mud flood stories, population migration, destruction of infrastructure. Nothing will hold. And see, this is where it makes me think just a moment here. If the elite understand this knowledge, they would also understand where the most damage would be on which continents. And you would also understand on the inverse where the least amount of damage would be in some locations, higher altitude, off coast, not in an estuary or a floodplain, an alluvial fan, nothing like that. So perhaps they've already mapped this out into quote unquote safe zones. And I hate using that word because everything's so safe, safe space. Da, da, da. But if you had mapped out where areas on the planet would be completely destroyed, partially destroyed, a great percentage destroyed, and then you had all the safe play, then you would obviously want to move your assets there. Because you want to be in control after this event is finished. So to control a monetary system backed by gold and silver, you're going to want to move all that out of, you're not going to want your gold and silver covered in 5-10 feet of mud, possibly unrecoverable. You're going to want it out of that area. And, you know, it's just quirky that all of these shifts of economy and gold and silver and gold-backed currencies and the BRICS and everything's just being shuffled around the planet right now. It's a great excuse to give cover for the shuffling. Because you can't come out to a planet and say, by the way, in about a year and a half, we're going to go ripping through this magnetic field. Many of you won't survive. Most of our infrastructure is going to get damaged. But we'd like you to continue to pay taxes. Not going to work. So obfuscate. This is the perfect excuse. I just had this mind-blown, you know, idea just last week. It just kind of came. There was a postcard in my mind. This is it. They're moving everything because they already know where the damage is going to be. So when we look at this kind of deep flooding, and we're talking hundreds of square miles here, this is insane. How much water came down and how much area was flooded. To the rooftops. Those are homes right there. It's not a little flood where you're walking through knee deep. This is up to the roofs, as far as you can see out of airplane windows. You know, these rescuers going in on the choppers and actually the air overflights, literally, as far as you can see to the horizon is this in all the directions. I'm like, whoa, this is something. And then, you know, of course, we're going to get the mud slides and mud floods and debris slides and debris flows coming out of this at the same time. And these images are too innumerable to even continue to. There's thousands of them to look at. And it's just really, you sit there and you scratch your head. You're like, how can this much rain come down in one area? Now, again, cover for it. Oh, it's geoengineering. Devil's advocate. I understand they're trying to engineer the weather. I get it. I see it up here. They're jetting, you know, contrails, persistent contrails, stratospheric aerosol geoengineering programs. I see it every day. But that would be a great cover to explain this, that they geoengineered the storms to punish somebody for not wanting to go along with the current agenda, whatever. But in reality, it would be a natural effect that could be amplified upon. But then when you point back to it, oh, no, that was nature, that was global warming, that was partially geoengineered. They're never going to tell you about the magnetic field in the outer solar system. It all does kind of do a Rubik's Cube on this here. China, another one. Their dams are nearly overtopping. The water's like splashing over the retaining wall that's probably 15 feet above the actual dam itself of concrete. I mean, they've had dam collapse after release, and just China is in a world of hurt food production-wise. They flooded their fields. This is Beijing. And look at the damage again. You start to see repeating patterns of damage of like how much water came through to push those cars up and leave all that debris flow. This is a massive amount of flooding. And, you know, the last time I was on the program here, we looked at Beijing and the downtown central business district. But there's a lot more images coming out finally about the flood damage. And if we look at Hong Kong, 137-year rain record just broken this about 5-6 days ago. And again, you start to see Hong Kong, you know, you got the main city right down there in Kowloon. But then once you get off Kowloon and you go into the outer territories or, you know, the new territories out there, you start to see, you know, a little bit more village-esque type for a better term, but still for us, it's a major population area. But to see this coming out of the mountains there and the streets, Hong Kong, and then downtown was just a flood zone too. They had to close an enormous amount of everything because the underpasses there, they couldn't drain them out fast enough. I mean, you can't tell me that this isn't like five or six continents all happening at the same time. There's something far more than geoengineering going on here to cause this. Now, Saudi Arabia having massive floods in the deserts right now, along with Oman and Yemen. Some of the driest places on the planet, they got water geysers coming out of the desert, which is another thing I want to touch on next program is the huge amount of geysers that have suddenly started water being pushed out of the desert, which matches up with the Quran and quite a few of the verses there talking about the future and when the desert becomes green again and when the geysers start and when the wells refill. And there's a huge amount of talk and prophecy about the deserts becoming green again. Well, how do you start making geysers? You need to have pressure on the earth. The electromagnetic fields would push the crust. Of course it would. So if you're pushing water out, you could also push mud out and sand. There's your mud flood. Those of you who like Tartaria, that explains it. There is a trigger mechanism for the mud flood. And Shanghai, China, also not immune. That's on the left side. So Hong Kong getting record floods, biggest 137 years. Shanghai, Beijing, the entire country's flooded. They lost most of their crops. They'll still get some yields, but they lost the majority of it. Just it's still 10, 12 feet underwater. Even if corn is the highest it can possibly grow, it's a lake. You can't even see the corn sticking up, and that's usually about a good 7, 8 feet. They have lost so much produce. And I wanted to roll you through the video here. Check this one out. This also comes from China right here. That they're having upwelling, earth upwelling against the roads, and the rocks are actually pushing through the asphalt. And this is a phenomenon that we're seeing and being documented over there. The road's not sinking. The pressure from the rocks being pushed up against the hardened road is what you're seeing here, along with obviously some heat, and you're seeing cracks. That's earth subsistence. This is going to be seen more and more as we march forward into this second magnetic field. This is just the beginning of it. So when I'm talking about destroyed infrastructure, these rocks are being pushed from beneath through our infrastructure. So you start to see many a different, and going back to Saudi Arabia for just a moment before I head on the break here, check out the water coming down, the floods. I was saying there was floods in the deserts, and this is the kind of rainfall coming off where waterfalls are starting to flow again. And this is out in the empty quarter as you're getting toward Oman. They have a series of like these high cliffs out there. And especially in Yemen. In Oman, you get this sort of cliff-like structure the closer you get to the coast. But this kind of rainfall and flooding is turning deserts into lakes. Again, I don't know how many times the Bible references this either about floods in the end times, giant hailstones that will pound villages to splinters. We are in it right now, all predicated in this second magnetic field is the trigger for it. So again, you have to be a government now, be the government of the planet, be World Health Organization, be the United Nations, be whatever you want to be, and try to deflect your way and excuse your way to explain every single one of these amplified events that are so far over anything that man-made could be responsible for, by orders of magnitude above that. Now, you have to explain away to the global populace why this is happening without scaring them. I mean, you need a little fear so you can push agendas and collect more tax money and keep the system going and the rule of law and these sort of things, moving, go to work, and global shipping. Oh, wait, it's shutting down because the Panama Canal's closed. Just never stops. You start to see now it's just like that last Jenga piece being pulled. We're going to talk a little more about this when we come back from the break, and I have some more planets for you and more ancient history to dovetail right into that. I'll see you in 2 minutes.
Hey everyone, it's Maria Z. I'm here at the Brighteon Studios, and I want to say I am so excited to become part of this network. You'll be seeing my show very, very soon. Free speech is so important in these days, and becoming uncensorable, and this is the platform for it. I'll be seeing you soon.
SAT123.com. They have put together a really incredible package: emergency backup communication systems, power systems. We've got sat phones. We've got solar panels, and also the big 400-watt solar panel behind us there. And why does this matter? Because, of course, right now we are dealing with massive risk of blackouts. And the power grid is just failing, you know, intermittently. But it's going to get worse because we've also got energy shortages Think about the lack of coal power, the diesel problems that are happening right now. If you're in the military or the National Guard or Border Patrol or law enforcement and you need to be able to function even when the power grid goes down, or maybe you're a first responder, rescue team, firefighter, paramedic, you name it, you need to know about this equipment. So SAT123.com, folks.
Hello, I'm Dr. Hochsi. Men, when things hit the fan, don't be crying in the closet with your wife and daughters. They're counting on you to lead them and to be a man who's physically fit, mentally sharp, and spiritually strong. At the Hochsi Health and Wellness Center, this is what we help you become. God has given your body amazing restorative powers to heal itself. We're in the business of transforming lives naturally. We've developed an 8-point treatment regimen, which includes healthy eating, vitamins and minerals, and hormone replacement, including testosterone. Become the man God wants you to be. Our program for men will help you put a tiger back in your tank so you can protect your family during these trying times. Contact us at the Hochsi Health and Wellness Center for a complimentary wellness consultation. Get your energy back so we can take our country back.
And welcome back for the second half of Mini Ice Age Conversations right here, Brighteon TV Uncensored, every other Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern. Before the break, we were talking about references of ancient prophecy connected into modern planetary geometry, currently where we sit in the heavens in our solar system right this day, and how governments are responding to that and how they're going to try to excuse away all of the extremes that are actually caused by a second magnetic field forming in the outer solar system. It's already started. That's the thing. Now, up to just a week and a half ago, it was not in play. It is fully in play now. It's going to amplify every single day until we get to the apex, October 24th, 2024.
Brighty on Radio and brightyonradio.com.
This is an amazing company that has sponsored both of us. And this is a way to have backup communications when the grid goes down.
Well, the situation became problematic, Mike, with the New Orleans, the latest hurricane, because people panic. And this is one thing that I've learned from being associated with the satellite phone store for over a decade. People will call and order 600 phones at a time.
What?
It's like this, Mike. Anytime there is a crisis, people want these. And ladies and gentlemen, they've created such a good deal for Mike's viewers, my viewers, our combined viewers, that this is the only way you're going to be able to communicate.
And that's the other beauty about these phones, is they can't track you because it's not talking to a cell tower. It's talking to satellites, you know, orbiting over the equator. So SAT123.com, folks.
The U.S. prepares to bolster troops in Eastern Europe, and tensions build with Russia.
Secretary Austin has placed a range of units in the United States on a heightened preparedness to deploy, which increases our readiness to provide forces if NATO should activate the NRF, or if other situations develop.
We have been consulting with allies in deployments and refining plans for all scenarios. We've always said we would reinforce our allies on the eastern flank.
Stay up to date on Brighteon Radio.
Treasure Island coins and precious metals. Mike Adams of naturalnews.com says 2020 has shown us that we must prepare for the unexpected. Gold and silver will be indispensable to your fiscal well-being during the coming financial pandemic. Shipments are delivered safely, discreetly, and securely right to your door. A precious metals IRA allows you to protect your retirement savings with the ultimate safe haven, assets of gold and silver. Gold and silver will be indispensable to your financial well-being. Your metals are held in the form of real coins and bars in an actual depository under your name and on your behalf. Simply visit brighteonmetals.com today. Gold and silver will be indispensable to your financial well-being. Shouldn't you at least look into it? Treasure Island coins and precious metals. We're here to help. Visit BrighteonMeadows.com today.
Take a stand against biased talk radio.
I'm going to take a strong stand against it.
And listen to Brighty on Radio, where we give you both sides of the story.
Thanks for your support of this platform. Use the code BTV at checkout for additional savings. BrightyOnStore.com.
Brighty on Radio and BrightyOnRadio.com.
In August. So there's a repeating pattern of extreme amounts of rain that our modern infrastructure cannot cope with. It's so far, you know, above the normal that now it's really starting to be very discernible. Now, I wanted to show you a couple videos here. This one comes from India. Both these are from India. But this is how much rain is coming down out of the streams in India. Now, there were buildings completely surrounding this. They've been washed away. As you can see, there's no way to get there now. So if I was in that building, I would be terrified right now thinking that the rest of the structures might go downstream with it. And then if you're just in a regular neighborhood, this is about how much is coming down. But remember, we're talking about the Himalayan mountains here. Himachal Pradesh, Arjuna Pradesh. Shimla was one of the areas, and you start to see, you know, a fair few just farm animals and different kind of livestock and whatever washed down. The amount of infrastructure broken and landslides and calamities and collapses in India is at the all-time record high this year. They're so stretched on the emergency services that they can't even get to towns. Oh, we'll get to you after the 10th town that needs help that just got cut off because all their bridges were wiped away. Like, it's literally taking India back 100 years we're going to have to go on the old salt route. And we're going to have to wait to the dry season and just hunker down until it's over. And that's the way they're thinking right now. In the modern era, like almost all bridges are wiped across the Himalayan region right now. That's just been such devastating floods, stem to stern, north, south, east, west, even in, Kashmir. You know, that's a little bit once you get out of Leh and Ladakh up that higher altitude, just massive floods there too. Lakes overstaying, no, bridges, nothing, farmlands underwater. And everywhere you can possibly see, and then Pakistan and Afghanistan and Iran, floods they haven't seen in thousands of years, kind of just filling up that entire region, which, by the way, was the Indus Valley and the cradle of civilization when it used to be forested. So it seems like that water pattern is returning again there. So here's one that I just pulled just minutes before we got on the show, too. It came off flood list. This is in Pennsylvania. Now, for those in the States, you know, Pennsylvania, you wouldn't expect this to be in American streets like this, although we've seen it in a few places in Virginia and West Virginia, but that's real mountainous. Well, Pennsylvania is too, but, you know, you don't get those severe, like, boom, right down ravine valleys that fill up. Like West Virginia had a few biggies. And then, of course, we saw the rare hurricane that went up through California. That passed, and then like a week later, you had all this, another huge, like, extra tropical low. It wasn't actually a hurricane. And then it socked in, and we saw all the stories about Burning Man, Freezing Man, Mud Man, whatever you want to call it. These are so rare, these storms out of place, especially with California gets smashed by the hurricane. Way out in the desert, Palm Springs area, you saw the flood videos there too. But then, not even in the same set of storms, another front came through and then flooded out the Burning Man area. So, I mean, are you telling me really with straight face that all these things are occurring at the same time? And for those of you that really understand mud floods and global liquefaction and Tartaria and buried buildings and knocking in a door on the second floor because it was totally buried on the first floor, here you go. This comes out of San Bernardino County, and this is what a mud flood looks like. And, you know, the consistency of almost concrete like this, this is coming down through an established stream bed. But if this were to emanate from the earth in the middle of a city, you would have buildings buried 10 feet deep, and you would also knock in a second floor door, and you would just come in right on the top of it, and here comes the water after that. There's a lot of repeating patterns here, and when we start to look at the reasons for past civilizations succumbing, after they reached the apex of their science and technology, agricultural production that allowed the extra food to then have those extra spare moments than just trying to keep your body alive. They come and they go on regular cycles. And these last two, the 1300s and the 1600s, there was a lot of mud. In the early 1800s, the 1815 as well, a lot of mud-covered areas. Like after the New Madrid Fault, they had so much sand and water come out from under the earth that it added 15 feet in some areas, and they just had undulating mountains of sand all over the farm fields from the Mississippi River about 100 miles going west. It took them the better part of 70 years to clean that up and turn it back into farm fields again. And that's when we were getting more mechanized. Think of steam shovels. Think of that kind of era. It took them that long. And that's the modern, well-documented events that have occurred. So if we're going to get hit by this again, Libya is a perfect example of how a society can get ripped apart. I feel so bad for these people. Hurley, blessings and wish you the best over there. The amount of water that came down in this flood as well. First, it was the Medicaine that dropped so much rain, and then the two dams in a row broke and they overtopped. Apparently, the wall of water was some 30 to 40 feet in that area that you see damaged there. And in other areas that were, quote unquote, slightly damaged, it was anywhere from, say, 10 to 20 feet in height of just roaring gravel and rock just as a polishing mud flood ripping apart everything that in its path. You know, this is just the beginning of what we're going to see here with this magnetic field. Like some of these images, you know, I just looked at them and said, what in the heck is that? So I do want to bring you back to this prior image here. If you go down on the right side, you start to see that what looks like a little cave indentation in there. I'm wondering if we're starting to see some of the same things of more of a previous civilization that's been wiped clean, that now we're starting to see it. Because if you look across a lot of these pictures down at the riverbed, you're going to see that there's holes poking through, and it definitely looks like a foundation of sorts, not of the same construction materials we're using now. It looks very different in the construction. So I think that this flood wiped away what the layers were built on top, and we're starting to see what was underneath, you know, 3 to 4 societies ago, 3 to 4 cycles ago. This is devastating. I can't even imagine being in this. And the problem was it hit in the middle of the night. You know, there are some images coming out now of people up on some of these floors that didn't get washed away videoing this. And, you know, this is scoured completely clean. Like, how do you rebuild from this? A quarter of the city perished. 25% of everything is gone in the city. And can you imagine the infrastructure that's not there anymore, or functional to even have that city to take away its waste and refuse? And that's how people get sick and get waterborne illnesses. So just a side note, you know, if we come into some of these events, one of the main things you're going to need to think about is water purification and then removal of waste and safe disposal and storage of waste. You get sick with giardia or some kind of stomach illness and you don't have any help, you are going to die. There's no question about it. You know how many people in the past have died of cholera? Simple waterborne things that we could treat right now with like 2 pills. If you don't have your meds set to, I highly encourage you, go to some of these sites. Mike suggests a couple of them where you can get a full array, a full bevy of different type of antibiotics, especially you want to focus on the waterborne pathogen set if you can, because this is going to be a main concern. How long do you think it would be before they could get fresh water here? Potable water. Where do you think people could go to the bathroom without making others sick? I mean, it's going to take them decades, plural, to clean up from this. I would imagine we're going to see a population migration out of here. This is going to become 90% less populated because nobody can really live here any longer. And this just reflects on stories of the past. You know, during the Maunder Minimum, I'm going to take you back to, say, 1640. Like 1640, the Maunder Minimum starts. The Thames has the ice fairs. You know, it gets really, really cold to the point that there's early blizzards. They can't grow crops correctly. Now, they used to have settlements in Norway and Sweden, but the sea ice came in so heavy that they could never resupply by sea. Now, normally before that, you know, grand solar minimum period, they were able to resupply by sea pretty easily because, you know, seawater stays relatively warmer compared to the huge changes in air temperatures around it. But the sea ice would block it every year, and there was no way to resupply. So at, let's say, 1710, when people returned back, when the sea ice flows stopped blocking the ports and they could get in there every year again, they found the same thing. 90% of the population had left or perished. They came back to 90% depleted cities. And you got to think about that. That was in the 1600s to 1700s, when there was barely a population on the planet compared to now. Maximum 700 million people. And you come back to a place where there's, you know, if there was 100 people, there'd be 10 left. Like, this is the kind of rebuild that occurred after this in the early 1700s. Like, our history is murky and a lot of it disappeared, and there's a lot of it you shouldn't, are not privy to see. Like, these changes are vast and all-encompassing on societies. We're here again. Now, you can look at it in one way. You can be all afraid, and please don't do that. This is a huge opportunity in so many ways to break free from these systems that have taken us down, because this one seems to be a little different. The vibrational frequency of our sun's changing upward in the whole yuga cycle as we come around again. So things are going to definitely be very different as we exit out of this cycle. The old things holding us down are just not going to be as, like, heavy and grabbable, for a better term. They're just not going to have the grabability that they did before in the 1400s, 1300s. We're coming out of the cycle. Excuse me, I ran on a tangent sometime. Before and after pictures here. I mean, you got to realize, how deep is that channel anyway? That channel got to be 20 feet deep right at the bridge there. And then look how far over and how girthy that river became breaking over the banks. I mean, biblical is the only way to describe that type of flood. And then if we come over to Austria and Germany and Switzerland, look at the right picture. That looks exactly like India in the mountains. And here in Tennessee, in East Tennessee, we had 6.5 inches of rain in 3 hours. It was actually 6.3. Most rain record broken since 1888 in the little tiny town I live in. It didn't get to that, but it got close in some of the higher elevation points. And the Cherokee National Forest and the Smoky Mountains became just like that. So we're starting to see a repeating pattern. If you're in the mountains, you're going to have to really have an exit plan, because this seems to be the new norm of how much water's being captured in these valleys. And then the hailstones. Biblically, you know, they're talking about bowling ball size. But accompanying these giant storms and systems of rain, this is the size of hail that's beginning to come down. You're going to see it everywhere. It's just, there's nowhere to run from this. And just before the show, we were chatting for a second here. 1 meter of snow, for those of you in the United States, that's 3 feet approximately. In 8 hours in Mendoza, Argentina, just September 11th. Now we start to look at, we're coming into winter in the Northern Hemisphere. 1 inch of precipitable water turns into 1 foot of snow. So if this was in the middle of summer, that would have rained 3 inches in 8 hours. Not so crazy. I mean, yeah, it would cause flooding, but it wouldn't be like some of those previous pictures we've seen. But what happens when you get a foot of rain in a day? That's 12 feet of snow. Now we're getting into the amplification, and we're starting to see it in the southern hemispheres. They're exiting out of their winter. We're going to be getting water equivalents of 1 inch or 1 foot of snow for each inch. And when we get these 6, 8, 12, 24-inch rainstorms, can you imagine 24 feet of snow in a single storm? At that point, two-floor buildings are buried. There's no way out of it. And, you know, you look at glimpses of history, like, has this occurred in the past, yes or no? Look at this curved mosaic floor. Stayed together after all the earthquakes in Italy, just bended and buckled. And it's definitely a remnant, a reminder that we've gone through this many a time in the last 2,000 years, about every 400, five of these cycles. And, again, ancient history here. A lot of people, the Henday Cross, there's really been a lot of conjecture. And I was talking with one of the researchers here who's like, one of the team leads on this, and he's talking to me, he's like, can you explain these four stars? And I'm like, he's like, this angry sun, we don't know why the four, what's the stars with the angry sun? And I was like, well, I can kind of give you a little explanation on that. Here you go, the four gas giants are those, that square that they're referencing in the cross. It's all related, whether you're at the tree of life or whether you're at these more ancient, the Hyundai cross, they all have the same thing exactly in common. This is a sign in the heavens. This is the sign in the sky. It's not a comment. This is the sign everybody's looking for. We're here again. I'm super rejoiceful and so thankful that we're here right now because, you know, the things we're going to be able to do with our minds and bodies and our spirits during this change in time. Oh, people for thousands of years would they would give anything to be born and alive at this time right now. Knowing this knowledge, not going in it from fear, but going in it through opportunity and change and uplifting, like the breathing again of life itself. And a little bit different look at the same tree of life again, in case you missed the first hour or the first part of the hour. When I reference those together, again, you start to see, you know, the four gas giants lining up and the sun and the earth and these different, the da'ath would be us at the hidden knowledge being broken open. You notice how it is being broken open right now. There's a lot of hidden knowledge coming out everywhere. This is it. I hope you share with your friends and family and try to get this conversation started because, you know, these changes are so big and so vast, they can't hide them anymore. And it's just almost comical when they try. We need to block the sun out now. Now, I had to get this one off archive because they already memory hold this one. And that wasn't too long ago. That was June of 2023. They're already talking about blocking the sun, but they already memory hold this one, so you couldn't find it. And then here's Politico. White House cautiously opened the door to study blocking sun's rays to slow global warming. Okay, that's a great excuse and like narrative feed for all these changes. They will never admit it's a second magnetic field in the solar system. So you're going to hear more of this garbage, more ridiculousness of the. It's going to continue up and up with the just ridiculous response to something that can't be controlled as a natural cycle. So they're probably in their leather sofas in their castles laughing their butts off going, oh, I can't believe they would believe we're going to block the sun. We need another excuse. Let's drill to the core of the planet and fill it with water. You know, something just ultra ridiculous. You live here. Third planet from the yellow thing. We reference this. Why did all the cultures were so heavy into worshiping the sun and keeping an eye on the sun? Because they knew when the magnetic field changed, something big happened on the planet. And this is the astronomical compendium from 1550. Now, my 1550 time frame didn't ever know this delicate of instrumentation was around. I thought it was clunky wooden wheels on wagons with oxen. Wait a second. Where'd this come from? Let's zoom in on it. I wanted to zoom in. I know you did. I know you wanted me to zoom on that. So here we go. But this kind of delicate understanding of cycles of the heavens in 1550 means that there's a missing piece of history that only a very certain part of our civilization is privy to. The rest of it's hidden for all of us out here. This has been around for thousands of years, this information. And Comet Nishimura, for the last 40 seconds here, Comet Nishimura, you have tonight and tomorrow morning to see it, and then it's gone for another 435 years. Now, where are we going to see it? You're going to have to look to the south, southeast. You're going to see Mercury poking its head up right off the horizon just about an hour before sunset. Look left of Mercury, and you should see it right there. You probably need binoculars. Good hunting on the comet. I'll see you next week. Bye for now.